You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
You know, troll on in, especially if you're one of those that are looking that today or in the next couple of days of what are we going to feed our family for the holidays and fish? How much is ahi and how much is going on? Many of you were probably either yesterday if you're listening on Saturday or on Friday morning if you're listening on Sunday, is really, really glad to see a big piece of recognition to our fishery. The state's fishery is net high prices for their catches. Now, if you take a look at the top seven or eight supplies places they talked about, we're high up the food chain. And this is really, really important, and it says a lot for our fishermen. And I know that this is something that the council was working on really, really hard. We're going to talk about that. We do have a very special pair in today from the YWCA here in Honolulu at Fernhurst. We're going to talk about a collaborative project, which is going to blow your socks off when you find out not only what they've done, but how you can get your hands on it. But since Sylvia Spalding, the information specialist for the council, is here, I thought we ought to blow our horn a little bit and kind of get you guys to brag on the study that you did that said exactly what this story in the paper said.
Oh, yes. Okay, so the story in the paper today talked about how NOAA Fisheries has released the 2017 report for the United States on which harbors bring in the most seafood in volume and also in value landed for the seafood. And Hawaii continues to rank number 7. We're always ranking in the top 10, which shows that our seafood, although we don't land a lot of it, is very has a strong value and puts us up there in the numbers. And that's because we have fresh iced ahi that is, well wanted all over the world now, although 80% of our ahi stays here in Hawaii.
That's really important. First of all, you heard on last week's program and the week before when we were talking about the fish auction and how the fish is. You know you've had a good day fishing when you come home and have extra ice, because the biggest thing in our market is to keep that fish fresh. So the minute it gets to the auction, the minute it gets to the store, it's never not chilled, which really increases, holds its value.
Right, because we have to follow by standards, and they're called HACCP, where they look at different points in the processing to make sure that the fish is kept at a certain temperature. It's iced fish. It's not frozen, which you would get in other places.
Yep.
All of the health issues we've had with raw fish in Hawaii has been imported fish.
Yep.
You never get that with our locally landed fish.
Yeah, you can be very, very confident about that. Anyway, one of the things that I think is important, and if you missed that, go to Star Advertiser, but really you can go to wpcouncil.org and find out myriads of information about this kind of stuff all the time. But the bottom line is people are, rolling out their credit cards and getting ready to write some checks, and I don't want them to think that because this thing said state fishers net high prices for their catches, that they think that that's at the consumer's expense, because it's really not. It's supply and demand. If people want fresh fish, they're willing to pay for it.
Right, and that's a comparison with other fishes in the nations
Yeah.
where they catch a lot of volume, it's frozen, and so it doesn't bring in. And then I just wanted to say that our newsletter, which came out a couple of weeks before this Star Advertiser article, talks about how we actually land about $120 million in fish throughout the state.
Which puts us where, when you take a look at what else we produce, you said the next thing that we talk about would be farm stuff.
Right.
And everybody thinks, well, boy, we must sell more macadamia nuts than anybody in the world.
Right. So the second most highest food produced in Hawaii is macadamia nuts at $54.9 million. Again, the fishery is $120 million. Cattle comes in at $43.9 million. But cattle, only 24% of it stays in Hawaii, whereas with our caught fish, 80% stays in Hawaii.
But here's another thing. And I know that I don't know if there's stats to support this. But even that be the case, we still have such a demand here in Hawaii for fish that we bring in lots of stuff from other places.
Right. If you take what's commercially landed and what's non-commercially catch, we still only supply about 50% of our fish
of
that
our
we
needs,
consume here. But that's a lot better than the rest of the United States, which actually imports 90% of the seafood it consumes. But one thing we wanted to stress, and we were happy to see the advertiser pick this up, is in the governor's sustainability project, he often talks about aquaculture, and we've been hard to get recognized the importance of wild-caught fish for the sustainability of Hawaii. As you know, if the ports close down, and there's only 10 days worth of food in the
That's
state.
That's it, in the state. So, right. But here's the other thing, gang. You got to consider this and put this in the back of your mind and remember it all the time. That doesn't mean because we have to import so much of our fish that we should go out and catch more. Because what really is happening here is the fishing community is sort of, in many respects, self-policing and self-regulating because they don't just go out and catch more because somebody's going to eat it. They know if it's not the right season or if it's not the right time, leave that species alone.
Oh, yeah. All of our fish are under quotas, you know, or annual catch limits. So they can't just catch whatever. Yeah. And also the market. You know, you can't flood the market. Then you end up getting such low prices that doesn't pay for what it costs to run the boat.
So, by the way, if you want me, you know, to put some proof in the pudding, what I was talking about, if you come down to the auction or if you come down to POP or Pier 38, if you're anywhere around, you'll notice all the vehicles that we drive, they're not all Mercedes, you know, convertibles and stuff. It's pickup trucks and bus up cars. So it's not as though the fishermen are all rich. We don't want to paint that picture, but it's a great living.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And on that, there are so many different ways that we reach out to try and make a connection. I am so impressed with the program that's happening right now. I want Sylvie to explain a little bit what it is and then introduce our special guest today, because there is something that I've never seen before by the council, and this is available, again, at wpcouncil.org. But this is a wonderful relationship, that a joint project, if you will, between the YWCA Honolulu Fernhurst and the council, and it's all about empowering women and making women part of our fishery.
Right. So, Mike, as you know, we've been putting out traditional lunar calendars for Hawaii, America, Samoa, Guam, and the Northern Mariana Islands since 2007. And every year in Hawaii, we partner with a different organization. And so last year, I was just talking to a mutual friend about us doing these calendars, but she was telling me that YWCA Oahu Fernhurst actually uses the lunar cycles in their educational programs as they try to rehabilitate or reintroduce women back into society who are coming out of prisons. And so I said, wow, we should partner with them. And
little did you know how cool this was going to become, right?
Yes. Yeah,
and now look, wow.
Yeah, because part of their educator program is to focus on Hina. And Hina is the Hawaiian goddess of the moon. But she has many forms. And in one of her forms, she's the counterpart to the Hawaiian god that's known for fishing, Kaula. And so, you know, there are, in her many forms, Hina has a lot of fishery-related intersections. For example, she is the mother of Maui. She's the mother of Molokai. She's the mother of coral. And maybe these women can go over Talia. I'm sorry, I didn't introduce them. There's Talia and Mehalani, and they're from YWCA Oahu Fernhurst.
And what I learned is Talia Cardenas, you are the manager of the YWCA. You say Wow Furnace. That venerable been there a long time, right?
Yes, YWCA has been in operation since 1900s.
Yeah, wow. That makes you guys kind of old, but you don't look it.
Yes, thank you. Carrying on the legacy of empowering women.
But what I think here, true, and I was so happy when we learned that you both are going to be here. Mahalani Ka'ava is here too, program specialist with the YWCA. When you say that, when Sylvia mentioned, I don't want to gloss over who the recipient of all of this goodness is. That women trying to reenter society after being incarcerated or having these kind of problems, they really don't have many options. And I want you to sort of explain how this collaboration is going to perk up that and make people proud to be part of the system or part of the programs that you do.
Yes, our women do not have many options. Actually, we're the only community-based furlough center for the women.
Wow.
And so in our property alone, it's comfortable. Our neighborhood is really peaceful, and they accept our women as well. And the women blend really nicely as they're trying to transition back into the society.
It must be, though, for you, for everybody, so pleasing to be able to incorporate so much of the Hawaiian culture into this particular project.
Yes.
Because I think that even if you are an incarcerated person, not a Hawaiian or native, you're still going to feel, you know, maybe part of a family at this. So how did this all, Sylvia, you said that this, you know, you guys always, you know, partner, collaborate with somebody, but I had no idea how deep this was going to get. How did it happen?
Oh, yeah, this got deeper and deeper. I mean, not only is it the first time where it's more woman-focused than man-focused, although part of the Hohina and the Hawaiian philosophy is it's the woman supports the man, you know? So, I mean, we have fisherwomen who are fisher, you know, who fish, but also we have a lot of women who support the fishermen. So that's brought out in here. But this calendar also is different than our previous calendars in that we've made a poster that goes along with it, and we've also made video to go along with it. Because each month has a mo'oleo, of a story about Hina, and it was told by the cultural expert for the YWCA, who is Hialani Shibati.
Yes,
and she is just a wonderful storyteller. So we actually videotaped it. So if people go online to the online calendar, which Talia was telling me her fisherman husband actually goes on to use.
Yes.
They can click on to the video and listen to the video, because we understand that some people, you know, learn better by hearing than they do by reading.
Well, let me ask you, Talia, because I think this is kind of cool, because I know that before my tide chart was always rolled up in the dashboard of the boat. Right. And by March, it was all hammered, you know, and now you can just, there's an app. Boom, here's the calendar. You can go for it. What kind of fishing does your husband do?
He does shoreline fishing.
Okay, so he's not his calendar is not getting wet. is it? And, you know, I think this is interesting because I ask this all the time. Obviously, he probably loves to fish.
Yes.
But do you count on the fish?
Do we count on the fish?
Yeah, do you count on the fish? This is part of your diet.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that makes us different than some other places. You know, so what's the favorite fish he catches when he brings home for you?
He brings home a lot of manini, or he brings home some ulua.
Okay.
When we have
fry the manini, broil the ulua.
Yes. Yeah. And when he has friends there, we get to get some kala.
But, you know, and so obviously, did he have some input? Did he help you out with this project?
He did. Really was very excited about the different moon phases, because a lot of the fishermen that he hangs out with, a lot of the uncles down there, have different thoughts on it. He's always been wanting to learn.
It is interesting. And Sylvia, we've always said that the council is a bottoms-up organization and that we rely on the fishermen to tell us the real scoop when you get to the beach. Here's one of them that did that, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. That's good.
Yeah. What about you, Mahea? What connection do you have to the fishing part of the community?
I'm a great eating fisher.
You love it.
Okay, I love fish.
Favorite fish?
My favorite fish? Kole.
No kidding, huh? Yep. You know, it used to be kapu.
True story.
You had to be elite to eat kole before now.
Or gomolokai.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yes.
But, you know, that's another thing that as you're listening, if you're listening to the program for all these years that we've been doing this, you know, I'm an offshore guy. But the onshore guys, and this is sort of interesting because normally you wouldn't expect, Sylvia, that we talk about the onshore, the inshore fishing because of the council, because the council takes over when we get into deeper water. But there's such a, in Hawaii, such a relationship that most of our fisher people go both places.
Right. Our fishermen, they don't know that 3-mile demarcation.
No,
their boats
neither
go,
do the fish, by the
and
way.
And neither right? do the fish. Yeah. So that's why, and we do ecosystem-based management. So we take in consideration the ecosystem.
We know that that every year when we do these calendars to other two ladies, that there's hungry birds in a nest waiting for them. But this must be a sort of an interesting thing because now you folks have an application for it. So what are you going to do with this at your end?
On our end, we're really pleased to bring this into the prison systems. Mm-hmm. So we delivered them to the Women's Community Correctional Center in Kailua. Yeah. Last month, the Federal Detention Center, the women in there. Mm-hmm. So they can start to read some of the stories and get to know the moon phases and even to just calculate the time when people's birthdays are. So that was primarily our first goal collectively was to get. We're on our way.
Did you find that so far that what may have, I'm just guessing, I'm hoping, that there's actually some pride developing?
A lot of pride.
Isn't that the whole key here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even in the values.
Yeah.
They want to know about the tide charts. So they're learning about the tide charts, talking about the stories of their uncles and grandmas and whomever it was that they, and recalling these memories that are good and sustainable.
Yeah. You know what I like about it, and if we go back to previous years, Sylvia, which we always do, is that, you know, it's always the man's the fisherman. But then when you talk to the men, the women, they know how to pinch the limu the best. They know how to save the crowds. You know, they know how to do all that stuff. And I do know that there are programs and maybe these are some of the programs, Mahealani, that you are involved in, where people in the society give clothing and things so these gals can go out and go for a job interview or feel confident in all this stuff. But what about the boost that this is going to give, if not anything else, the morale of people that know they're part of this program because of this project?
Oh, yes. It sparked up so many more people coming by with interest to be part of the program, to be part of the educational program and bringing in different cultures and just being part of the women's growth.
Yeah, but you know, Sylvia, the commitment that the council made is you folks still have an end use too. I mean, you know, you do these projects because there's how many of us waiting for these things. So how's the distribution and what can people do like right online now to see what we're talking about?
Yeah. So besides the YWCA distributing to every woman who's incarcerated in Hawaii, and they're also looking to look at incarcerated Hawaiian residents, women who
that are somewhere
on the mainland.
Else. Yeah, good.
Yeah, they're looking at that too. And also in Hina Mauka and other places where there's halfway houses and they're looking at all that. For us, though, we every year, and we did it with this calendar too, we send it to all the schools, headed to either the head of the science or the Hawaiian Studies program. We also send it to all the libraries and all the schools and the public libraries. We send it to our congressmen, all the congressmen. Yeah. We send it to all the policymakers, so the governors, the state legislature, so that they're aware of, fishing, and in this case, too, about the YWCA's program.
One of the things that I like about this, though, is that famous New Orleans chef that says, let's kick it up a notch. Right. This thing is kicked up a notch because there's a video.
Yeah, there's a video.
There's a DVD here.
And there's also a postcard that just has the values. And then there's a poster that has a snippet of all the stories that are related to fishing in it. And then in the distribution, I forgot to say that we also distribute to the fishermen. And we also have a fisherman's version of the calendar if they want to put it in their, you know, car or
Box. It's a little flip-over thing that I've got. And it's it looks like it'll take it on the dashboard. It won't get all bust up right away because it's good stock. But the thing is, and I, if you're a reader of our column, The Buck Stops Here, and you know that I always put the ethical standards of the council and fisheries, I'm going to put this in so that you're going to see it there in February. It's the Mahina, meaning the moon, and the different things that weighs. I'm blown away, and I don't know how to explain it, Sylvia, maybe the ladies and you can, is that the selection of each of that. This wasn't automatic. This took a lot of work.
Yes. So, let Talia talk about it because she worked with some of her staff, right, to get these stories together.
The stories, yes. It was, we started off with working towards 12 stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had an opportunity because the stories kept flowing in.
Sure.
A lot of us don't know all the different forms of Hina. So it was very exciting for the women and our cultural advisor, Hi'ilani Shibata, to start researching all of that and putting it together. Through that, when we learned all the different forms, including Samoa, Samoa's version of Hina is Sina.
Yeah.
So we started to go across the Pacific Ocean, got very excited. Through the stories, we started to look at values. And that's how we got the set of values that...
I think is really cool is everybody knows Hiki Analea just got back. We've had this wonderful voyage knitting this together. And I'm just guessing, I don't know, but maybe Mahea, you or Talia knows, that there's also a lot of incarcerated women in the rest of the Pacific. I mean, you know, there's other areas of concern where maybe some of our other cousins down south can learn something from this project.
Yes, we've had so many great responses from the women all over, including one of their big takeaways was about the values.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the stories, you know, down how they just, everybody's learning from the stories, but the values really resonated with many of the women that are still behind there.
You know, when it finally comes to come across my desk, Sylvia gives me always every year this nice, neat package and it's all organized. And I'm thinking, wow, this is great. This looks to me like it took a lot of work. this must have started a year ago.
Yeah, it did about there.
Yeah,
yeah,
I would imagine. Yeah.
We had several meetings with the women from the YWCA, and then, of course, you know, producing the video beyond the calendar, you know. And also Oliver Kenny is the Hawaiian illustrator who illustrated the cover of the calendar and also of the poster. But, Mike, you know, I wanted to go back about the reach of this, you know, besides the women in prison, people from America Samoa had called up and they wanted copies for their youth correctional program.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah,
you know?
And so I think the youth correctional programs here on Oahu have now reached out to and wanting copies of this calendar. So,
yeah, you know, that being said, and if you're out there listening, first of all, you go to wpcouncil.org. And every year that we do this, there's always a spike in interest of that. And I don't, we should mention actually what a trip to that website can do, because you guys have done so much with the website now that teachers particularly better be looking at it for value and for materials.
Right. So we have an educational and outreach section. And if they go there, they can get videos, posters, displays, lesson plans, just a ton of things. We are getting ready to launch a new website. So hopefully most of the links will continue to work. But if not, at the top tab, there is an education. There will be an education and outreach tab.
Okay. Now, I guess, Atali, when you guys first got rolling on it and then decided, for instance, when I'm taking a look at, I was taking a look at the code and looking, all right, is there of the values, the order, you selected the order.
I mean, we did not.
Okay, who selected the order?
Sylvia.
Ah, I get it. Okay.
It was very organic.
I get it now. Okay. Ah, see, Sylvia. Yeah, I should. But, you know, talk about that a little bit, because obviously it's a body of work that's going to impress a lot of people. But in the very beginning, who was it aimed at? Was it aimed at showing the women that they can have pride? Was it, you know, who did you aim this at?
It would, Hina, what we learned is a woman who, in the front cover you'll see, she worked day in and day out creating her kapa. And she got so weary and tired of creating her kapa. Her husband kept asking her, can you make more kapa? Can you make more kapa? Yeah. She got really, really tired. So she started to persevere to the moon. At first, she was going to the sun. She got burnt. And eventually, she ended up at the moon. And so Hina was our inspiration to bring back the dignity and the respect and the balance of everything, bringing the women back into the lunar moon cycles and learning those natural cycles for the women incarcerated.
Let me ask you this, because I think this is one of the toughest things, and I've done this on other shows. You know, the women are the women, and you know, they're together and they gain strength from each other. They gain weakness from each other. But what about the families? I mean, you know, at the other end of this thing, I guess a lot of women are going to want to give their children these calendars and say, you know, this is part of our deal. Let's talk about the intended reach of all of this.
The intended reach. So once we get to relearn some of these stories we haven't been able to find all these stories in one place that bring up all these empowering values. And we unfortunately know that the women that are incarcerated, there's a generational cycle that affects their children. And so through this, the reach is once they start learning all of their culture, half of the women in prison are Hawaiian. They can
Which,
pass
by the way,
on.
it's a bitter reminder of where we need to do the work. And that's why I guess projects like this, it's not just empowering that, but it's also, I'm hoping that would allow other members of the family to reconsider the relationship by not so much holding out because she was in jail, you know, we can't trust her.
Yes.
You know, I don't know about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so the women's prison, I have to say, she had a desire. So there was a American Tale, Five Alum, not sure if you remember that movie. But at least to bring together, if you have the children that are separate from their mother, they can both look at the moon.
And they can both start
to build that relationship in a positive way.
Okay, now the downline use of this, though, I must tell you that I know the council and how it works. We're kind of selfish because it has to have a use of it. I think that we're going to find, once this is in more general distribution, how many people say, wow, that's a great thing. How are you going to top this? This is a big project.
Actually, we already got the 2020 plan next year. And what we're going to do next year is to each month feature a classroom or educational program that is using the calendar and explain how they're using it. And we're doing this especially because in 2020, beautiful, there's going to be two conferences in Honolulu, the National Marine Educators Association Conference and also the International Pacific Marine Educators Network Conference. And so we'd like to showcase, you know, how classrooms are using the traditional lunar month to educate their children.
Yeah, and you know, I just can't tell you, and we're going to get into this in future of our shows, as we always do, because the anecdotal information that we're getting from the fishers now is that you can take a look at the lunar calendar, and you can take a look at, say, species and breeding and all of this stuff, but it's not the same in every bay. That, you know, we have this big thing. So obviously this work that you've done here is not the same as Samoa or anything else, but are they going to get it?
Oh, no. So we make calendars for American Samoa, Guam, and the Samoa, Northern Mariana.
Yeah, I know.
They're totally different. Yeah. They feature different items. They feature their traditional knowledge and there. And those are all on our website if people want to download, or if they want hard copies, they can write us, and we could try to get them a hard copy if there's any left.
And if there's any left and you show up at the next Fisher's Forum, we'll make sure that you get them that way, too. But I think what it really should do, and we almost always make the mistake, and when we're talking about, you know, taking your boy fishing and all of this stuff, it's way bigger than that. And that's why I think that, you know, maybe we should point a different part of the program at, hey, take the Wahine's fishing, because, yeah, you know, they want to go fishing too. But but let's talk a little bit more. Obviously, you guys had to assign a lot of time and energy into this project, right? So there must have been, at the board level, some appreciation for, wow, this is great. What did they expect from you folks?
Our board?
Yeah, what do your people expect?
They expect us to, they want to work on the values and share these stories, share the significance of the moon. A lot of times we take it for granted. Yeah. The moon's there. And we don't know all the different things. Fishermen, like we were saying, local fishermen, you talk to the uncles, they'll know which moons have good fish, certain kind of fish. And so to integrate that and bring that balance back in, is part of the,
I know one guy that paints his house every couple of years when the fishing is no good. He knows.
Yes. You
know, so he doesn't want to not do anything, but he doesn't want to be, when the fish are running, he doesn't want to be painting. So isn't this, in many cases, and I'm not saying that people really plan their lives, but back in the day, there was like fishing, and there was like, you know, when are we going to go up in the mountains, and when are we going to have babies and all of that stuff?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everything. The moon drove it all.
Yes, yeah, the moon drove it all. And that's what we're learning. So there's so many different ways that people are connecting to this project. And it makes it easier for us to look at the day, because there's many calendars out there. Mm-hmm. But the Fisheries Council allowed us to make something that was basic, simple to read, know which moon is on which day, so that we can start to plan out.
Let's flip through it, even though we can't show the audience, Sylvia. Let's flip through the months. I mean, flip through the, when you said the order, the order was important, you know, how this happened.
Right.
So what happens is, on each page, for each month, there's a different piece of art that is, I mean, it's really spectacular, right?
Right. And so the first month is we talk about Hale Ohina and Nā Wahine Ui. And this is what Mehalani runs. And the value was Wahine Kapu, sacred woman.
Mm-hmm. So Hale Ohina and Nā Wahine Ui are one in the same. Mm-hmm. When the women moved into Fernhurst, they came and claimed the name Nā Wahine Ui, beautiful women. They declaimed that that's what they were, beautiful women inside and out. And as the cultural aspect started to evolve, and then the project with Hina came up, the whole essence of building a safe place, a place of like a pu'uhonua for the women to be, Hale Ohina was birthed.
Yeah, that's so moving, because, as you know, the pu'uhonua concept is finally catching on in a lot of places. But it must be also very gratifying for you folks when somebody first enters, when you get somebody that is really a hungry bird in the nest and wants to get the help, that programs like this are available now.
Definitely, definitely.
So that was January.
Yes, it gets them connected back to a sense of place, sense of connection. They get to be integrated with their family in a safe place.
Yeah, wow, actually, Mike, that was October of 2018. We ended up doing a 15-month calendar.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. I first looked at a scribble over here, and I thought it was a note. It's actually, this is really different, because it's a 15-month calendar. Right. You don't see them very often.
Right. Yeah. We were able to produce this early, so we said, well, since we're going to distribute it early, we might as well take advantage and put more stories in there and start it in October of 2018. So that was October of 2018. Then of November of 2018, we featured two forms of Hina that have to do with healing. And maybe, Talia, you could, or Mahilani, you could talk about it, because you use this this healing method, right, in your program?
We're learning about it. So Hina Lauli Mukala, it's a process and a ceremony where you go down to the ocean. So we're learning about it. You go down to the ocean, you get the limukala, and your intention is to release or to forgive. So that's really important for not only the women we serve, but for us too, to continuously go through that process. So this right here talks about a ceremony that you can do down at the ocean.
Yeah, I'm hoping that you see these little rays of lights coming out of all the eyes of these gals as they go through this.
Yes.
But don't they actually have to have some faith and some trust to embrace it?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's just automatic. Oh, that's me.
It's not everyone. It's not for everyone, and it's when they're ready. So it's an option, and it's a tool, something that we can bring back forward from the past, and something that's healing.
We even get the women coming in and doing hands-on activities, like last night we did olena. They made olena juice and everything, and that's all part of healing, and it gives them, again, that hands-on into what this is all about.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess at the end of the day, Sylvia, when, you know, the council's job and the council's work in their realm, this is certainly outside the normal realm, right? And it really is, however, rewarding, because in actual fact, you know, we were talking about the high number of Hawaiian girls that are incarcerated, or Hawaiian women that are incarcerated. Mm-hmm. So are the number of people out there fishing is Hawaiian heavy too. So it's the right folks, isn't it?
Right, it is. And like you talked about family before, I mean, when we first started these calendars, you know, we did art contests and we featured the art from student art on the covers. And we thought that was a way of getting to the adults through the children, you know what I mean? So I guess maybe this is reverse. We're teaching the mothers and trying to get back to the family.
Yeah. You know?
Well, but somebody said a while ago, and it's true, you know, if you are in a home that where there's abuse, you're likely to be an abuser. And if you come from a home that somebody was in prison, you're likely to become in prison too. And I guess what this is designed to do is kind of break that cycle.
Correct.
You know, get these gals, okay, you guys are not going back to jail.
Yes.
Here's what you're going to do.
Absolutely. Yes. Here's a pathway.
So continuing on, I'm still interested in the way the whole thing flows.
Right. The next month, which is December, which is this month here, the value is Ho'omana, empowerment. And we feature two Hina stories on here. One about is Hina, the goddess of the corals and spiny creatures. Mm-hmm. And the other one is a story about Hina in Hilo. And maybe Talia could talk about this, or Mahalani.
Yeah, Mahea, what's so significant here about Hilo?
Like with this story that I'm still learning about this, and not really sure.
Okay, but obviously it fell into the right hierarchy of how you were going to do it.
Right. So if you want to look through the whole thing, we started out with the facility where they work at, and then we go through different forms of Hina. That story about Hilo was about Hilo, one form of Hina who dealt with fire, and one form of Hina that dealt with rain. But they can go and read the stories. So we went through the different forms of Hina, and then near the end, what we did is we came back to this is back in November of 2019, the Makiki Ahupua'a, which is where Fernhurst is located.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have a lovely illustration here that Mahalani, one of your friends, did this illustration. Mm-hmm. And this is, Mahalani, is her family is from this area.
You know? Yeah, it's funny because, you know, we lose touch of the Ahupua'a anyway. And you can see them on the Big Island. You can see them on Molokai a lot. But here on Oahu, we kind of lost them. This one this is recreated. You can re-see this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And just to talk about the Ahupua'a, and this is, I think, significant to mention, is that when Fernhurst arrived in Makiki Ahupua'a, Talia had called me, and I knew her from the past, and she asked permission for the women to move into the Ahupua of Makiki. And I thought, this never happens.
Wow, yeah.
In this age, in this 21st century, nobody asked that.
Yeah.
And so it was an honor to have been even asked, because my family has been there for generations. I'm seventh generation in this Ahupua. And it set a precedence of all these protocols that I put in place, and all these things that we're seeing, all these seeds and this growth that is happening, including this calendar that happened because of the proper protocols that are
Well, you know, the calendar, and I know, Sylvia, sometimes it's hard to say goodbye to a calendar, but they all have a life, shelf life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that leads you on to, okay, well, what's coming up next? I think that this project is going to get more projects. I mean, you know, the video and everything else is done. And it may not take the same form, but this is a heck of a leg up for this whole, not just for the Y, but for the council as well. Really having this extra value project.
Right. Yeah, it is. And you know, one other thing I wanted to point out about this calendar that's different is, you know, when we work with organizations, we ask them, how do you want your calendar to look? Mm-hmm. When do you want it to start? Because, you know, the Hawaiian lunar year is different. And as you notice, it is different from island to island and moku to moku.
Yeah.
And so we ask them all these questions. And they wanted a 7-day calendar. And we usually lay our calendars out in the 10-day on a Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they wanted. That's what we gave them. But we also kept the Anahulu by color coding it. So you have the Hawaiian week as well as
it's a twofer.
Week. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just keeps building. It keeps growing. And, and we always look for partners in the years to come. And then just to close, Mike, on the order of the calendar, it ends with the Aha Moku system, which, you know, the council has been a strong supporter
strong
of that. And so we talk about the moku, where the Makiki Ahupua'a is in, and about the Ahumoku system. And then the back cover story is actually the story that goes to the front cover picture, which is the story that Talia talked about, Hina.
Yeah, and some of you guys out there are going to really want to get copies of this. We can probably help you out in many respects. But it was, I think, maybe a really fortuitous get-together that made this happen. I knew nothing about it before today. So I want to tell you, I'm like a sponge, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to be the same way. So, ladies, I want to thank you very much for coming in and sharing your mana'o with us on this project. And congratulations. Job well done.
Thank you.
Yeah,
mahalo.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and Sylvia, we're going to actually, towards the end of the year, next week, what we were going to do, we're going to do a part two on this, but now what we're going to do is, based on what people saw in the paper yesterday or on Friday, a little bit more about the value of these fish and a meeting that just took place. What was it?
Okay, so actually it's continuing today. It will end today, Friday, which is Friday, the 14th of December, is the Western and Central Pacific Fisheries Commission. They meet annually for their regular meetings, and it goes around the whole Pacific. There's 33 countries that are member countries, and there's about a dozen that are cooperating non-member countries. And they actually set the tuna quota for the Western and Central Pacific Ocean.
Okay, so we're gonna get our Doc Mark in, Mark Fitchett, to talk about this next week.
Yeah. Either him or Eric Kingman,
Happy holidays, everybody. And if you want to hear something on the program, you know what to do. Drop me a line, themikebuckshow@gmail.com. themikebuckshow@gmail.com. In the meantime, you know, let's have following seas, tight lines, sharp hooks, and lots of fish on your plate. See you next time. Aloha.